This is RSBNB Update, episode 470, recorded Saturday, June 21st, 2014, The RuneScape Legacy. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update once again. I am Shane12088, and of course, joining me is my reliable and lovable co-host, Trekkie.
Yo.
So, rather interesting week this week. We do have a guest with us, somebody who you guys might remember from a long time ago, and that is Schwa. Care to introduce yourself?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
It's been a little while since I've been active with RSBNB. I've been mostly playing old school and actually playing a little bit of Legacy since it's come out, which is the reason that I'm here today.
Yes, and as I mentioned before, I mean, as I said, immediately when old school was announced and came out, this show does not deal with old school. And nor will we talk about its updates, nor will we have people on the show who play old school. And this week is an exception, because I think the Legacy Mode beta has had a profound effect on Schwa's life, which he's going to tell us about in just a little bit, aren't you?
Yes, yes I am.
So, before we get too far down that path, I will say that we do have some other global changes to combat in this beta update, which I'm going to run down briefly. Mm-hmm. First of all, some of these changes are good. Some of them, I don't know, maybe we don't need, but we'll get your guys' opinion in just a moment. So starting off, crit chance bonuses have gone away and have been replaced with strength bonuses. Yes, no, or I don't care.
Okay.
Trekkie.
Sorry, hold on. Something's wrong here.
Oh, what's wrong?
Couldn't click on anything.
Huh. Okay.
There we go.
So does this make it feel as though it's like how things used to be back in the olden days with just strength bonuses and no crit chance?
Actually, while doing this, I realized I was reverting even back to the old ways of just click on something, watch something, click on something, watch something. Hey, oh, I'm done. Click on something next. I just keep repeating that over and over again.
Okay. Now,
it was very much less click intensive and, you know, watching intensive, or button pushing if you're dealing with EOC.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute, but strength and crit bonuses. Do you guys prefer the strength or the crit bonus?
I think strength bonus is actually a better idea. Having the crit bonus doesn't really do much unless you want to, like, you're imbuing your sword with something magical, which most of them are higher up. I think strength bonus is better. This may actually bring Pierce back.
Yeah, I have to agree with Trekkie. I think that the strength bonus is preferable over the crit.
See, I mean, yeah, strength bonuses seem more reliable, I think. But from my point of view, I thought the crit bonuses were interesting because you could say take a crit bonus and, like you said, basically stack all up on crits and maybe go for a super crit type setup, which, I mean, if we knew a bit more how the mechanics work, that might be interesting. So I think that crit was interesting. And, I mean, the reason I don't like the strength bonuses is because it doesn't make sense that wearing an amulet or a ring or something like that should just somehow make your character stronger, you know? So that's my problem with the strength bonuses rather than the crits. But the question, I guess, to be asking now that we know that the strength bonuses probably are going to make it to the game is, are they going to be noticeable?
We didn't notice anything while we were down below. While in legacy mode, we did notice that sometimes the crit splash would pop up, but we kind of found that EOC was a little bit more entertaining for you and I.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking on that same idea there, with regards to the evolution of combat, a whole bunch of abilities have either been tweaked or nerfed. Let me just tell you how many nerfs there were. There was one nerf in the attack abilities, and one nerf in the strength abilities, and two in each of the magic and ranged abilities. So the vast majority of what they've done is they've increased the damage output of the abilities. To give you guys an example, Havoc seems more useful now. That's up to 125%. Hurricane up to 219%. Massacre 157 to 158 with a chance for a 315% damage over time, which is pretty amazing. Let's see. Dismember, that seems useful. That's 188 now. That was one of the more useless ones. Fury was one of the nerfs, but that's a basic ability. Over time, doesn't really seem like it's going to be all that useful nowadays. Cleave, pretty much every ability before that wasn't competitive with the few that were competitive have been buffed significantly.
I mean, also haven't a few of them been kind of... Ow. Which ones have been nerfed? And is it comparable to like the buffs that others have received?
Well, yeah, they are. To give you an example, Slice, that's the most basic ability that you can use. It's the first attack ability. Its damage has been decreased from 125% to 110%. So that's a fair nerf in that, I mean, you could basically spam that every 3 seconds. So I guess that makes sense that it would be nerfed like that. And relatively the same stuff happened as well in the strength, magic, and ranged categories. So it is fairly uniform across the board as to what's been nerfed. And to answer your question, yes, I do believe that the ones that have been buffed will make up for what's been nerfed. Because when you look at it previously, I think that most of the abilities out there, you remember that post, how so many of them were useless, Trekkie?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I think that we're going to be seeing more useful ones. And overall, this is a very good change and something that's been needed for quite some time. But what do you and I always say when we talk about abilities?
We need more.
Yes. Specifically in the magic and ranged category. Am I right?
Oh, yes. There's about two, three panels for melee, and there's like one panel for range and magic. It's like, it's not a lot of variety.
Exactly, and I mean, we're trying to make the combat systems all equal. It seems like that would be definitely something that should be looked at, is adding magic strength and range strength abilities just to, you know, have an equal footing here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, combat triangle bonuses have been relaxed. Happy?
For now.
Happy?
Honestly, when I was down below, I actually found that if I would fought the rangers, or that's melee, I actually did more damage. Or but at least I felt like I killed those things faster. Right.
You should, in terms of the combat triangle. So, I think that bonus will always stack. I'm going to give an actual testimonial here. I actually spent some time down in the Curadel's dungeon killing abyssals just to, you know, test out these changes and whatnot. I actually did find that I was able to use magic and ranged to kill these abyssal demons effectively, more so than previously with these changes to the combat triangle. So take that for what it's worth.
That's good.
And for That's me, good. As a player who has maxed melee stats, this is good because I can just train ranged whenever I go do Slayer. So it's very nice.
That's all I've been doing lately, is training range while slaying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Schwa, did you feel any part of the combat triangle when you came back to test things out?
I did a little bit of ranging and mostly melee, but I mean, it seems like it kind of went along with the updates that came with EOC previously, which was just kind of a higher overall damage in all aspects. I found myself hitting a lot harder than I would have, months and months ago. But otherwise, I didn't really feel that it was more or less balanced. I really didn't have any kind of basis to go off of.
Okay. Well, that's good then, because that's one of the number one things that people complained about when EOC came out, is that, you know, we are so limited in what we can wear, and that, you know, you need to wear melee if you're fighting something that is strong against that. So if you're fighting something that's ranged, you definitely want to attack them with melee. Previously, it was to a point where you could barely damage creatures if they were at or above your level that were actually using the wrong combat type. So that this has been relaxed, I think it's a good thing that it lets us train what we want to train. But at the same time, let's remember what the evolution of combat was initially designed to correct. Do we remember that?
Make combat more interesting?
Yeah, that's one thing, but what else?
Don't know. What was it? Old wise one.
Clean up the mess that was made over a decade of combat updates and just putting things everywhere willy-nilly. So, I mean,
it makes sense, but they never really strayed too far, you know, as far as the combat triangle went, in my opinion. I think the best combat update they did was adding life points.
Oh, really?
And okay. Yes.
Interesting. I didn't see that as much of a change, because back before the evolution of combat came out, it was just your life points multiplied by 10, and there you go.
No, it was very important, because it allowed the zero spam to go away that you used to see, you know, obviously, right. And people are going to do a little bit higher of damage, because I'm not sure exactly what point they rounded up or down at. I don't remember the news post, but it seemed like that was the best combat update they did, and I really wish that would have stayed the way it is and not gone the direction of EOC, but I'm glad that Legacy decided to include that.
Yeah, the dividing the numbers by 10, so they're only maximum, so they're in the hundreds now rather than thousands. Okay. So the combat triangle, mm-hmm. I think we're getting the idea that we're happy with it here, and it's kind of relaxed, and it, would you guys say it's a middle ground as to where we were before?
I have to say, though, I do miss being max combat. I'm one level short. That sucks.
Well, that change has been in the beta since the last beta update, the 138 formula. I am glad that they listened
to it.
Reason and made magic and ranged have an equal contribution. That is nice. But anyway, so with the combat triangle, it seems we're all fairly happy, which is good, I guess. Schwa, I don't know, did you try the evolution of combat when it came out, or were you just somebody who was away from the game and came back to it and was just totally confused?
No, I tried it out for a little bit, but I've always kind of flip-flopped between other MMOs and RuneScape, and the reason that I played RuneScape was so that I didn't have, you know, button combinations. I could just click and watch and then click again, and that was enough for me. So it just started to feel like it was becoming a lot more like other MMOs, and the other ones might have been a little better designed, you know, different companies. So that's why I kind of faded away from it.
All right.
You know, some people really like that.
So I guess what I want to ask you is, when you first tried the evolution of combat like that, did you have any problems with the combat triangle being rigidly enforced?
Not necessarily, because I've always been a person who plays the combat triangle to their advantage. So I was never trying to use melee to go up against another monster that was strong against it, I guess.
All right. That's what I was asking.
I wish I would have.
Now, one thing I'm going to recommend that you do, just as a bit of an aside here, is that in the combat beta, enable the evolution of combat mode and turn something on called Revolution and see how that goes for you. Basically, Revolution is the auto-casting of combat abilities so that you can just click and wait and then act, press buttons if you want to press buttons. So I'd like you to give
that
a try.
That's not too bad. So you can save like different macros and things?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So what you do, for example, is you take your weapon set and your armor set, whatever you're wearing. So take the God Sword I gave you, right? And then you'll just right-click on the little gear on the action bar and choose setup action bar. And what that'll do is it'll look at what you're wearing and it will give you an appropriate action bar setup. Nice. So you don't need to do any of the work for that. Then all you have to do after that is right click again and choose combat mode revolution. And then you'll get auto casting of these abilities and you just go click things and do combat as you normally would and see how that goes. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that.
So, with being able to auto-cast these abilities that EOC was brought in to make combat a little more interesting, why would they make Revolution in the first place if they have Legacy? Or, like, why did they make both Revolution and Legacy if they meet the same end?
Well, here's what
happened.
Because
those who are old school who don't realize that Revolution is actually out here,
yeah.
So they're trying to get the people back from old school to say, hey, try Legacy out. Okay, you're here now. Try Revolution out. Oh, hey, which one seems to give you more power? Hey, which one seems a bit more fun? Hey, which one is more involved? Hey, this is cool again. All right, stay here.
Josh,
I suppose,
you know what happened?
Is RuneScape really that hard up for players?
Well, they're not, but I am, because I think this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the game. I think we're playing the game at the best time ever. So yeah, I am in that boat. I am pretty much what he just exemplified here. But let me tell you, Josh, that Legacy wasn't always planned. This started in January 2014 with a combat beta with changes to the action bar, bringing in Revolution, which was a player suggestion, which I hated at first, and then changes to the Momentum, which is the other useless combat mode that exists with it. And because they brought this beta out, people started asking for an older combat experience. And then a couple weeks later, we saw a design brief on Legacy, what we're seeing now, and it just started from there. So this was actually started by player feedback, in a sense that the player feedback this time around was actually sane. It wasn't a witch hunt as much the same way it was when EOC first came out. So to answer your question, Jagex didn't plan to do Legacy Mode first. Revolution came first. Legacy Mode came after we saw Revolution. So that's...
Well, I definitely want to give both a shot. I didn't even... Well, I had seen the ads for Revolution on the Jagex website. I hadn't actually figured out how to enable it, though.
I got a good video on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff about Revolution that I'll show you after. You can watch that and then, you know, ask me any personal questions about it, but it's a good combat mode. So let's just dive straight in and cover what we've been, you know, trying to avoid for the last 18 minutes here, and that Legacy Mode beta is actually here now. So let's ask Schwa here, what are your first impressions of this? Is it enough to make you want to come back?
Is it enough to make the person who hasn't been playing any RuneScape at all to come back? Maybe. I don't know if it's going to be convincing the old school players, just because even if it's just not the same. Even though it has the same combat and the same skills, the difference of the graphics and a whole new set of different special items and best in slot items to learn is a whole different book from regular RuneScape to old school. However, someone who's just been away the whole time, they could come back, and I think that they might really like the changes.
Plus, let's also not forget that this game is advancing the lore in a very interesting direction. So I don't know if you were interested in the quests and whatnot before you left. But if you were interested in the quests, I think that would be another reason for somebody to come back.
Especially what's coming out soon.
Yes, the Elf City, finally. But yes. We talked about that enough in past weeks. We won't labor that point here. So... What did you think of Legacy Mode? Is it, did it live up to your expectations? Did it work well? Do you want to play it?
I think it lived up to it and more. I think that they definitely recaptured everything that might have been lost in EOC, and I'm interested to see how they're going to make it play alongside EOC. If they're going to have separate worlds or however they do it. But it felt very natural. Other than, you know, I noticed myself having higher hits. Maybe it was because I had a god sword. But even then, it seemed as though either the attacks were faster or I was getting more numbers out of it, which was definitely not a bad thing at all.
Yeah,
I found it to definitely live up to my expectations, though.
All right, good. Now... this past week, I discovered something, and I get it. I really do get what you guys are after with this. You guys are wanting to go back to a time when things were simpler and things just made more sense to your minds, right?
I mean, I suppose. I feel like they've broken things that didn't need fixing by trying to improve something that they couldn't even foresee the effect of what it would have.
Yeah, and to be fair, that happens in all game development. You can't have a crystal ball as to what changes you make are actually going to be having an effect in the long run. But is it fair to say that the experience of the old type of combat, Legacy Mode, is just something that you feel created a better state of the game, a better state of affairs, let's say?
I mean, I feel it was what the game was designed for. I mean, the back and forth has been the fundamental, you know, mechanic of how all combat worked. And I've, you know, read many things saying that the evolution of combat would break a lot of quest bosses, such as Nomad and I forget the other one. I don't know what they have or have not fixed in this past year. I haven't kept up as well as I should have.
Bizarre one,
but
usually.
What the game was designed for was a simpler form of combat that Legacy uses.
Yeah, and to be fair, the quest boss, like Nomad and whatnot, did get simpler with the evolution of combat. But at the same time, Trekkie will attest that we have seen some very, very tough quest bosses in the past year and a half, am I right?
Don't remind me.
Brink of Extinction?
Took me a while. Royal Pain in Rear End.
And that is using the abilities and the combat system to your advantage. So, in some ways, what you say, what you've lost, we've gained in other areas. But the idea that I discovered this past week is that the people in RuneScape who want an experience like the olden days, like Legacy Mode, are very, very much similar to the conservatives in the United States who want to go back to a time that was very much similar to, let's just say, in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan. Now,
why do you gotta bring politics into this?
It's an analogy that works because they want to go back to this time where things were great and things were just so much simpler and we were having so much fun with RuneScape. And to be fair, that is the last political reference in this tie-in right here.
Monologue.
But with this update, we are looking for a solution that exists in Legacy, but yes, we could bring it forward to this time period and make it work. We could make Legacy work, and there were of course, going to be elements of Legacy that will be there. But there is a better solution to this. The solution, as I've maintained for a long time upon hearing Legacy, is just to make Legacy mode the new momentum. And then have interface presets that make the interface look like Legacy mode. And that will keep everyone happy. Because there are Evolution of Combat fans out there that appeared on Monday that said, yes, we like this interface, but we don't want the old style of combat. Can we have this at some point in the future? And Jagex said, yeah, we'll look into this. And quite honestly, I think what you said, Schwa, earlier, making these two work together, I think that's the solution right there, is to have Legacy mode as the type of freeform sit-back combat, but also offer the pre-RuneScape 3 interfaces to people who want to use it with the Evolution of Combat. And that's the solution to make these two things work together and really have a fixed combat system that everyone can get behind.
I mean, I'm interested to see how the people using Legacy mode can try to tackle some of these tougher quest bosses that you've mentioned. Because if they're tough even using... If the normal bosses using a Legacy, quote-unquote, style combat were easy with the Evolution of Combat, how are these ones that are difficult with the Evolution of Combat going to be to the people that use Legacy? Are they just going to not be able to do these quests unless they use the Evolution of Combat?
Yes. Not quests. They said they're not going to do that with quests. But there are going to be bosses that are specifically designed with Evolution of Combat features in mind. Key examples being Virago, the Kalthi King. Though with the Kalthi King, there's going to be some concessions made, such that level 80 shields will have a provoke option, which you need at the Kalthi King. And there's also going to be the ability to break stuns in Legacy as well. So it could potentially be possible to do it. But as with most things being said, you will get a better damage output by using Evolution of Combat. So why don't we talk about that right now, our test that we did last night?
Oh, it was more of a mini test. Anyway, what we did yesterday, we decided to go, me, Mike, and Shane went down to God Wars Dungeon to try out Legacy Mode, Momentum, and Old Manual EOC. And, there's not a huge difference, right, except between Legacy and EOC.
Which was surprising to me.
Yeah, so what we did was we did 5 rounds of fighting Bandos, of the Bandos god boss down there. And with Legacy... Oh, Shane?
Yeah.
You see what said in Mumble?
Yeah, I did, and there's really nothing I can do about that.
Okay. Bear with us for a second. Anyway, so as we were going through it, we fought five waves of the boss through Legacy, 5 waves of EOC, Legacy, and Momentum. Momentum, flat out, is the worst one. It's really not... No one should even bother with that one, and we really discounted that right off the bat. But what we found was... While EOC is slightly faster on average, the difference between Legacy and EOC, so the difference between speed was very insignificant. It was only like half a second or 1 second faster with EOC than it was than through Legacy.
But let's also throw in that EOC gets significantly faster if you use thresholds and ultimates.
Yeah, but well, we had a hard time trying to build it up as we were going through.
Yeah,
I'm sure we could have done some. I kind of left it. I didn't do very much of trying to find a way to build it up really, really fast. I'm sure I could have done other things too while I was there. But our initial consensus is it wasn't really that much faster.
And but this is something. Go ahead.
Although it felt faster, didn't it?
Yeah, it
did. I think
it
felt faster. But when we actually crunched the numbers, it was more or less the same.
Yeah, and it felt faster because that's just what we've become used to over the past year and a half. Now, Schwa, you remember I mentioned that you can enable Revolution with the preset action bars, right?
Yes.
That is essentially what we were doing with dual-wielded weapons, is we were just using Revolution for our Evolution of Combat test in the God Wars dungeon, and that is the same speed, roughly, as Legacy mode. So you are going to be competitive in all things like Slayer and whatnot. So take that for what it's worth.
But what about in like the PvP environment?
See, we're not
PvPers. Do you think that's going to stay everyone in Evolution?
So,
well, in theory, just in theory, if you ever fight someone in Legacy with someone who's using EOC, EOC person should win because they have so much better abilities. Because you have all those abilities that can stun you, bleed you, lower your defense. When you're in Legacy, you just hit, splash, hit, splash.
In Legacy, you also have 100% special attack bar to start, which, if everything I know about is correct, with abilities, you have to build up.
Yeah.
True.
And they,
you know, once you're, well, in theory, once your energy kind of goes bye-bye, you're at the mercy of the guy who's EOC if he can survive long enough, and which in theory he could, because he has a lot of, we do have a lot of defense abilities for that. I don't know, maybe you and Shane and I will try it out later
on.
Yeah,
we should. One thing, though, that the EOC crowd has the advantage of over PvP-wise is that the abilities remove much of the dice roll that was associated with Legacy, and that you can control when you're going to hit high and when you're going to hit normal based on when you activate a threshold. So that is something that EOC PvPers would have an advantage in. So, I mean, overall, they say that this update is not going to disrupt the evolution of combat. And, you know, we have to believe them on that, I think. And at this point, you know, before we get too far down the path here of criticizing which is the combat system we're all going to use and everything, I just want to remind everybody on both sides that we're playing a game here. We're playing a game together as a community. And there are people who will post in the feedback forums, trash EOC, get rid of EOC, get rid of Legacy, trash Legacy, that sort of thing. And let's remember here that this is a game that we're all playing together as a community. And this update is doing nothing to that community but bringing us together. Like I said, this update has the potential to bring the community back together and remove the fissures caused by old school RuneScape, which was a horrible idea from the very beginning to bring that out, when really this is the kind of update that should have been offered to the players. So keep that in mind when posting feedback, is that this update has the potential to unite a community. And yes, there are people in the crowd that comes in, just natural whenever more people come into game, that are going to have a lower IQ than the rest of us. So we got to work with these people and, you know, just treat them the same way we would like to be treated. And maybe this group of people will, you know, just bring a whole new dynamic to RuneScape. But now is not the time to be turning on one side or the other.
So we should just all hold hands and sing songs?
Well, no, I'm not saying we should do that. I think we all like our combat systems as is, and I mean, if this can be pulled off without, you know, causing too much of a disruption, then so be it. But at the same time, we got to look at what Jagex is actually trying to do here and hope that we're on the path to a right solution where we can finally say combat is fixed once and for all. So.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
It would.
I guess we'll have to see how the poll does.
Yeah.
And see so if before it'll get we talk, permanently.
Before we talk about the poll, there was already a patch to Legacy mode, including a Legacy only world for people who want a PvP, monster aggression turned off. Recent armor tier changes were reworked, so Rune is now back to level 50, which was obviously pissing off some Rune peers and whatnot because they wanted to wear their Rune when really all they would have had to do is switch to Addy for the same stats, which was really a cosmetic update. And when you look at, I mean, what Jagex's mentality has been over the past year and a half, why would you make a change like this just for a cosmetic update for people, you know? If they want that, send them to Solomon Store and give them the old rune style override. So, there's that. Chat box transparency can be customized, and a whole bunch of bug fixes that I'm not going to go into just because there's way too many of them. But I will say some things that aren't coming back. 100% protection prayers, pre-EOSD stats on gear, the old quest interface, and the removal of summoning and high-level potions in the wilderness.
I'm kind of sad about the no 100% protect.
Well, you don't need it anymore. It took us 35 seconds with Legacy to kill Bandos in the God Wars dungeon with three people.
Dang.
Yeah, so you don't really need it. And plus, there's an ability that you can get if you want 100% protection prayers. That gives you that.
It's a threshold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it only lasts for so long, though.
Yeah, and it can be recharged by killing something. But all right, so the poll. They're going to be polling this starting on Monday. And thankfully, if you have an account that was created before January 2013, you'll be able to vote in this. I think this is an acceptable time standard. How about you guys?
Yeah, usually those who are, who've been here know a little bit of pre-EOC and EOC. Certainly they should get rid of momentum.
Yeah, getting rid of momentum would be a good thing to
do. That's what they'll do. Legacy. Maybe they'll just replace Legacy with momentum.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying to do since the very beginning. It's the simplest solution out there. So, it doesn't say how long this poll is going to be running for. So, you guys know what you're voting?
Oh, let's see what things are.
The poll will not be available on the website. It's going to be in-game only. Oh, which really? Is good, I think. Because if you send people off to the website, you know, I don't know, it's not... You actually do have to go in and test the thing before you can vote. So that's good. But
so wait, voting, are they polling to make it permanent?
Yes. This is the poll to bring it to the game.
Yeah, then I'll definitely vote yes. It'll actually give me a chance to play on my normal account because grinding on old school makes me miss my Herbler cape. Makes me miss it a lot.
All right. Well, there's one vote for yes. How about you, Trekkie?
Yes, I don't know. Let's see what the polling options are.
Yeah, okay. I'm still not 100% sold on this. I got to see if they're going to be offering the option to have the old-style interfaces eventually for the EOC players, because if they can decouple the interface from the combat style, then Legacy can be a checkbox, Momentum can go away, and we can have the old interfaces, and that should be a pretty good solution. And, I mean, the Ferengi inside me will vote yes, because I want the PvP community to come back so they can buy my potions for insane prices. So,
yes.
That would be a reason for me to vote yes. As the Ferengi say, war is good for business.
But prolonged war is not good for anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Hey, you want living proof, you're living in history.
Yes. Alrighty, so that pretty much covers our discussion on Legacy Combat, I think. Anything else you'd like to throw in, Schwa?
I don't think that this is going to succeed in converting a lot of people, I think it'll just quell the rebellion against EOC. I don't foresee it bringing back as many people as they are hoping it will.
How do we bring those people back?
It's impossible.
Close down old school.
That might work. I don't know about totally working on that front. I think that the legacy mode is a good step in opening people's eyes. I think that just the story and different items and new quests in the game is really one of the main hindering factors. It's a completely different game, even though it shares the name and about half the items.
And see, that's what was so painful to me about old school, is I was hoping it would be a time capsule that would come back and it would just sit there in the same way that RuneScape Classic did. But it did not, which was very disappointing to me.
But RuneScape Classic never had a big following either, and they needed to attract new players to the game in order to keep old school going.
And that's the reason we got RuneScape 2. And it worked.
I guess what people really like about old school as well is that everything is put to the players to decide whether or not they like it. It's resulted in a lot of stupid changes, but it's resulted in a lot of good updates as well.
Okay, so next up, we got the polling that they did this week. And it is to redo the Third Age armor. Yes or no?
Just yeah, what'd you vote for? I voted no.
Yeah. I voted yes.
Oh, okay. Why?
Why not? Mine as well.
So that, and you know, Third Age armor, that's pretty rare. I don't think I've seen it all that often, so maybe make it look more special, I guess.
Make it more. They should make it more demonic.
Hmm. Okay.
Instead of clothes, it just makes you look intimidating, and you know, when you see someone Third Age, you can kind of know that, oh, this guy is pretty wealthy because that's expensive armor, or very good at combat because he has gotten so much, and you know, basically just be there and be like, okay, here we go, 3, 2.
Yeah. I guess part of the reason I voted no is because I don't know what it's going to look like. So that's why I said that. If we had seen a bit of a preview, then I might have been persuaded to vote yes.
Well, you always said leave it up to them. Actually, knowing them, they'd probably leave it up to the players again.
I don't know about that. I think armor redesign is something that they'd want to do themselves.
Yeah, well, you know what? You should do a little RS poll again. Have people submit redrawings of the Third Age armor and let us vote on them.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see, and then model it up in game, and there we go.
And you know, and if the other ones have a relatively good amount of votes, maybe release it through Solomon's Door.
Yeah, there you go. Just like we have the other cosmetic armor from the olden days, like the rune armor and whatnot, that stuff could be released through cosmetic override. So there's a fairly good option right there. Okay. What about you, Schwa? Did you have a look at... Or no, you probably haven't logged into the main game to vote in this polling system, have you?
I have not. I would have voted yes, though. There's nothing wrong with a rework.
Especially after all those years of armor. Okay.
I mean, you know, it's not like it needed one. If you see someone in Third Age, you know they have Third Age. You have no question in your mind of what is that. You know it's Third Age. So I wouldn't say making it, like, have more spikes and, you know, bigger and bulkier is any better. But there's nothing wrong with a few little tweaks and reworking it.
All right.
It's still going to be Third Age. It's still going to be very expensive.
Yes.
Actually, with Legacy out, maybe it'll be easier because then people just click and go.
Yeah, and it is a level 65 piece of armor, which is kind of low, but still, you're getting it for the novelty purpose. So, alrighty. Well, there's your polling update for the week, everyone. Next up is a rather interesting Treasure Hunter promotion for this weekend, the Gemstone Golem outfits. Okay.
Precious. She doesn't get that reference, but everyone else is probably laughing at their home.
Yeah.
Shall you get the reference?
Oh, yes, I get the reference.
High five.
Oh, yeah, across the ocean.
So, while you're wearing the Gemstone Golem outfits, your chance of successfully mining will be increased by 5%. If you're wearing the Magic Golem outfit, living rock creatures will be non-aggressive, and your chance of mining will be successfully increased by 7%. So, basically, what you need to do to get this Magic Golem outfit is you need to get the Sapphire, Emerald, and Ruby outfits and then combine them all together. And each outfit is made up of head, torso, legs, hands, and feet. You don't need to have a full outfit to combine parts to create a color-changing outfit.
No more, Momska. It is not Pokemon.
So,
okay.
Now this
basically, the difference between the three is just color.
Yeah, pretty much. Combining them to, you know, get a better effect over time. Which, when you look at it, some people might really like having non-aggressiveness in the Living Rock Caverns. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
So,
it'll just depend on how hard it is to obtain the
full set.
Yeah, the full set, because, I mean, I feel like the more lower-level players having those non-aggressive rock creatures would be it would be beneficial to them, and skillers maybe as well, if there are any skillers left in the game.
Oh, yeah, there are. You know, one thing that, like, this is a good piece of content coming out, but as I've said before, this is coming out through Treasure Hunter, and that's all fine and dandy, but why don't we see something this good ever come out from a quest or a rework to the crafting smithing skill? I mean, yeah, okay, it's a nice way to, you know, spend some money and have microtransactions, but these special pieces of equipment that do all these things, I think, would be so much better if you could actually make them in-game. I mean, not necessarily that just make them in-game from the very beginning, but get the components on Treasure Hunter and then make them in-game using your skills. Just improve to the skills rather than giving directly to the players through Treasure Hunter. That's my only complaint with this update, because this is a really, really nice outfit that I would love to get. And yeah, you just
get handed your wallet
by a Treasure Hunter, and yeah, buy spins and whatnot. But I mean, I really don't have that much of a problem with going down to the Living Rock Caverns and, you know, being hit by getting hit by aggressive things. The mining percent,
yeah, but you're
is
max
nice.
Melee as well.
Yeah, that's true. But the mining percent chance, that's excellent. I mean, even combined with auras and everything, so. I mean, you got to have some Treasure Hunter things, and I don't think this is as ridiculously overpowered as the Silverhawk boots were, but just have a skill requirement on this, just add something to these skills. That would be my only complaint with this.
Hmm. Okay.
And if I was a certain RSBNB member, I would definitely pull out some sort of credit card and purchase upwards of many, many spins until I have 20 million bonus XP stacked and get the outfit. I'll tell you guys who that was after the fact, but not on a live show.
So, basically, if you were here during a live show after the show, you would know.
Maybe.
So stick around. Maybe. We'll know it's here.
Well, you're here, Momoska.
So, now, this week's behind-the-scenes video is interesting for two reasons. The first one is that Mod Wrath in this video looks rather menacing in the way he's talking with such joy about these chinchampas blowing up, the skill chompas, which are coming out next week. Did you guys watch this?
No, I did not.
I watched about half and then we started.
Yeah, did you see how maniacal his face is? Yeah.
Actually, I kind of want to send this to you. This is the exact face he's making where I paused the video.
All right, you can do that.
Send it over Skype to you.
You can do that. Either just link me to the video at the time or just take a screenshot of it. But
yep, I've already got it saved.
They said their research shows that skill chompas are actually happy to go explode. So they did say, you know, that, yeah, okay, we're exploding little animals, but it's no problem. That's what they're designed to do. So it's A-okay. Oh, Mod Raven, I'm sorry. Not Mod Wrath. Alrighty, let's see what this file has here. And, I mean, this is really come to show what goes on.
It was like the same day, Marmuska.
Behind the scenes videos here, so... Yeah, and yeah, I'm sure PETA will get us because of this, so... Oh, well, if that's the case, we'll have to see what Jagex does, but I really don't think that's much of an issue with this, as chinchampas were in the game. And I remember reading a topic in the Rants thread when Hunter came out that, you know, well, these little creatures, why do we have to be mean to animals and whatnot? But that's just what people thought back then, and... Ah, yes, that is exactly the face that I remember when watching this video. So, watch the behind-the-scenes video, everyone, 34 seconds in, and you'll see what joy Mod Raven gets out of this update. Very good, Josh. Very good. And the other interesting part of this is that we're abandoning JAG and moving to Google Authenticator for RuneScape second factor authentication.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you guys both have JAG enabled?
No.
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
Didn't bother. For me, it's like, you know, if you hack into, if you can figure out my password, I'm already screwed.
No one wants anything I have. I'm poor.
So am I.
Okay. So basically, for anybody out there who's not aware of how this works, is it's generally widely accepted that in order to really secure yourself on a website or service such as RuneScape, what you need to do is you need to have two factors. You need to have something you know, which is your password, and something you have, which in this case is going to be an authentication code. Or, as it was in the past, the Jagex account Guardian, which really isn't that great because it's based off of recovery questions. And how many people before have been hacked by recovery questions? I'm sure there are lots of you guys out there who know someone who's been hacked by that. And this really shows what the problem with JAG is that recovery questions are not a good form of second factor authentication. So... I said this from the very beginning when JAG came out, that this is a horrible way of doing it, and, you know, we really should just be using some sort of key token or something like that, and Google Authenticator didn't exist then, but now that it does, it's a solution that they can integrate quite nicely, and we gotta applaud Jagex for doing that.
Yeah, so moving to Google is a lot more secure than any in-house system they have.
Yeah, especially recovery questions, because, you know, recovery questions, there's 5 defined recovery questions, and people don't really want to write their own. So you either have to fake the answers to recovery questions or hope to God that people don't know what these answers would be. Like, who was your first teacher, Schwa?
That was Miss Barnett.
What's your mother's maiden name?
I don't tell you that.
There you go, see? What's your favorite book that you've read?
I don't
Those
know
are the
how
kind
to
of
read.
Recovery questions that are there and can easily be social engineered over time. So that's why Google Authenticator is better.
You know what? Just rewatching behind the scenes and noticing at the very end when they do the one that pretends to be an elf.
right?
He's a terrible archer.
That is Maude Osborne.
Stance is all wrong. He has no arm brace, no band brace on his arm from the string slap. The way he's holding the string with the arrow is completely off. He's not keeping his arm straight because he's moving a little bit of an elevation. He's not anchoring at the exact same point. That's such
a poor hitting the tree with a foam axe.
Well, he ran out of hearings. What do you want?
I don't know.
All right. That's what we got to look forward to coming up in RuneScape.
Okay.
Well, let's move on to questions now, shall we?
And we have two audio questions. One from the first one is from Parnassius.
I didn't preview these before, so you guys are hearing this as we're hearing it.
G'day guys, it's Parnassius here, and I apologize in advance for the length of this question. So just having watched the behind-the-scenes video by Jagex on the Legacy mode coming to beta soon, the mods mentioned that while initially special attacks will just be for weapons of pre-AOC, they will be working on specials for weapons such as Drygors and the like in the future. They are also cutting out the critical hit chance and bringing back the strength bonus, which I actually don't mind. This seems to be a total reversal of what Mod Mark has previously said about EOC, and that it is here to stay. Watching this video really seems that EOC is going to be slowly phased out and replaced with the old system. Players didn't like the combat mode that was more high intensity where they actually had to play the game, so Jagex decided to, in Mod Z's own words, create a mode that is the way you want to play it and still have new updates every week. I was initially hesitant about EOC when it first came out, but quickly got used to it, and it actually increased my enjoyment of the game. My question is, do you think that it will really bring back that many old players who supposedly quit because of EOC and still retain the current batch of players who do enjoy EOC? I honestly can't see the two systems working side by side in harmony, where Legacy is going to give the players the same damage output, killing just as quickly, as someone using EOC in full manual mode. What's the point of a player using EOC when, as they say, you can go back and kill God Wars bosses and Corp just as easily with the Legacy mode? It'll be interesting to follow the debate over the next few months. Hopefully, we will not see another fracturing of the community, which is only now just beginning to heal, but I don't hold out much hope about it. Anyway, once again, sorry for the overlong question, but I'd really love to hear your discussion on it. May your time in Gilinor be ever fruitful.
Wow. So,
okay, well,
we kind of already touched on how many we'll bring back.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And we also touched on what we thought about strength versus crit chance. So one left is really what do you think of Legacy versus EOC, which we kind of touched based on. Do you hope that EOC will be better than Legacy, Shane?
Yeah, I hope so.
Significantly better.
It does need to maintain an advantage in game, because if it doesn't maintain an advantage in game, then Jagex is not essentially showing leadership on the way they want the game to progress. So let's assume for a while that both the evolution of combat and Legacy get equal attention, equal updates, and equal content. Now that is fine in the sense of community building and whatnot, but it is not showing leadership on which way Jagex wants the game to go. If they want the game to advance and slowly but surely bring people over who are playing Legacy, they need to provide compelling reasons to do that. And I think one of the ways they can do this in order to bridge that gap is the PvP community. The PvP community in RuneScape was at its core. It's what combat has always been about. So if you can get the PvPers back in RS3 using Legacy mode, maybe, and then, you know, get them involved in the community again and provide some interesting PvP updates where, you know, yeah, you can use Legacy, but you might have an advantage if you use the evolution of combat. That would be a good way to go, in my view, and also offering more tactical choices, as you and I have said before. I think that's something that some PvPers would like quite a bit.
Okay. I like EOC. Hopefully they keep expanding it and release new abilities. As for Legacy itself, get rid of Momentum, replace it with that, and, you know, and make Revelation basically the middle ground.
Revolution.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's an easy word to misplace. But yeah, we did answer a good majority of that in the past. What do you think, Shwa?
I don't think EOC is dying. I think it's here to stay. I think Legacy hopefully is here to stay as well. I think they've struck a good balance. As long as they don't make the game unplayable unless you're using a certain combat style, I think that they could really add as many as they want if they were balanced. However, I say between Legacy, Revolution, and EOC, they should just keep it at that for a while. Don't try to mix things up anymore.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a good balance, and Momentum can go away now that we got Legacy. Revolution for the EOC who just wants to sit back and relax, and if you need to be more tactical, you have Full Manual. So I think that pretty much covers that question, even though we kind of pre-answered parts of it. Thank you, Parnassius. The next one is from Marumska.
Hello, Shane, Tricky, and Schwa. Marumski. How you doing? Did any of you watch any E3 press conferences or Nintendo digital event? Anyways, a while back when Bitcoin was on the news a lot, I noticed two guys trying to figure out how to get them. And they were on their smartphones and checking, and they said, oh, how did they acquire Bitcoins? And one of them said, oh, check the stock market, which I laughed inside, of course. have you seen anybody so into tech but yet ignorant about or uninformed on some things? Just interested. Also, lastly, I was watching a Mega Man reveal trailer for Nintendo Smash Brothers. And I could not escape the RuneScape claw, with number one being the RuneScape personality's reaction. His name is Nightmare RH. Where have you bumped into anything RuneScape related where you least expected it? Anyway, I'll talk to you next time. Marumska out.
Yes.
I don't quite get that last part. Maybe Marumska can provide some feedback on that when we get there. But did anything jump out at E3 for either of you?
Not in particular, other than Grand Theft Auto 5. I think that was at E3, being announced for PC.
Yeah, that's true. Probably.
That was the only thing I really jumped out.
You know, I think E3 in general this year is, you know, kind of a calmer event than it was last year, you know, since we got all the consoles out now. And it's mainly a game announcement. And, I mean, really, you can do game announcements with a press release. And no real new hardware either, aside from the Sony TV thing, which is kind of interesting. But I don't know how many people want to use a Sony product for TV when it's not easily going to connect to your Microsoft Windows computer or Apple Macintosh. So those were the kind of, that was the interesting thing in kind of a why sense for me. But I normally don't really take that much interest in the when games are released and everything. So I think it's fair to say E3 was pretty much quite a fair for us this year. Anyways, ignorant about tech, specifically bitcoins in general. Yeah, I've seen that before. It is rather amusing. I mean, prime examples are when you get a gamer for example, a PC gamer rather than a console gamer, a PC gamer who has absolutely no idea of what their hardware in a computer does and what they need, and, you know, getting a graphics card that could run triple monitor gaming and using just one monitor at a time, for example, or getting a graphics card with 4 gigabytes of memory when you really don't even need that much for modern games because it's just texture based and they think it'll go faster, or, I mean, I don't know, skimping out on obvious parts, obviously, you know, going for a standard spinning hard drive instead of getting a solid state when you could take that money out of the GPU or CPU, depending what you're playing, and have a much better experience overall. So those kind of things are what jumps out at me for technology-wise. And of course, I think in general, anytime technology is reported on the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, then. Oh, I got not much to say on this one.
Ugh. All right. Schwa, anything?
What's this?
I mean, I see funny times in school all the time where I'll have a a computer teacher supposed to be teaching us, you know, programming or Linux or hardware or what have you, and they can't get the projector working, and so they call the tech people. And I'm like, if you're in this field, you should be, like, keeping up and researching, you know, the different new technologies and how to work things and how to fix errors. And yet it's so funny that they are just as quick to call tech support as the people that they're trying to claim that we're supposed to help.
And you know what's the best tech support solution every single time?
The Wii System 32?
Oh. No. Something simpler.
Reboot.
Google it. No, it's true. Printer, model, XYZ, not working, error code, blah, blah, blah. How to fix. Oh. Hold restart, unplug power, plug back in. Okay, we're back in business. Next.
Ask the Oracle. There you go. All right.
Shall I put some incense out, offering a fruit and cake, and kneel down, bow 3 times, and go.
All right. I got Muramska in chat here. So, what exactly did you mean by the last question? I don't understand what you were asking with that.
Wait, I should have phrased it better, but. Where have you least expected you know, someone just out of the blue popping out RS references? Say, I don't know, reading a Reddit forum for for food or something.
I can't say I've seen that happen anywhere online. RS, I mean, I think is still one of the more niche type games out there, so I'm going to say I haven't seen that pop up. How about you guys?
I haven't seen anybody really talk about it in real life except more of the, you play RuneScape?
Yeah, it's not the same game you're aware of.
Where's the other one? Here we go. So, yeah. Go with that.
Alrighty. Thank you, Marabska. Alrighty. Okay. Last question. Schwa, you want to take that one?
Is he back? So what was at the door?
Oh, I guess not. Alrighty. Well, I'll read it then. This is from PinkWolf13. Do you see any benefit of Legacy over EOC as far as combat goes, or is it just preference?
Actually, we kind of believe that Legacy it's better for you to go through EOC because of the thresholds and all the other buff and debuff that EOC provides. You know, if they do release Legacy as we would like it to be, it would just be more for, you know, if you're slaying or doing training where you don't want to, you know, have to physically keep paying attention to the screen and just click and go. But as a whole, EOC does more.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real benefit tactically wise of going EOC over, going legacy over EOC, because in EOC you have Revolution, which can be faster than legacy if you use thresholds. You also have the ability to have custom defined keyboard shortcuts. So if you want to bind your food to something to eat so that you only have to press a button and not use the mouse, you can do that. Other examples are using the action bar for skilling primarily. You have access to more information as to what's going on, as to, you know, when is this overload potion going to run out? When is my anti-fire potion going to run out? That sort of thing. You also have more information as to how much you're hitting and whether or not the attacks are being as effective because the numbers are bigger. So overall, I'd say you just use legacy if you're looking for, like you said, like a more laid-back gaming experience, and you just want something that's more familiar as it was in the past. So I think that's what we say on it. How about you, Schwa? And now at this point, I'll just wait for him to get back, and this will be an edit point in the
real world. No, we're going to edit.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the way the ball bounces, but I can I can make it work.
I make my own rules.
Yep, pretty much. So while we're going, let's try and think of show titles for...
Shaw's back.
Huh? Okay.
He's back.
So Schwa, what do you think of that question? Why would you... Do you see any benefit of legacy over EOC in terms of, you know, whether it's just preference-wide or just something visual or not?
I think that it's really been proven that it's just preference at this point, other than in a PvP environment or a really high-intensity combat situation that requires a little more finesse than Legacy can provide.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else on that question, then we should move straight on to tech news. Sound good?
Tech news!
Sure.
All righty. So, first up this week, the Amazon Fire Phone. So, Amazon has the Amazon Fire Tablet. Now they have the Amazon Fire Phone, which is a smartphone that's based purely on the Amazon ecosystem. It runs Amazon's modified version of Android. It's a 4.7-inch, 720p phone, Qualcomm processor, 2 gigs of RAM, fairly modern for a smartphone, and has a 13-megapixel camera. You guys want to know the clincher on this phone?
It doesn't run Android, does it?
It doesn't. It runs a modification of Android, but do you want to know what the real clincher is?
What?
You can't access the Google Play Store.
Right, I remember they have their own Amazon store.
Yeah.
Right, another app store.
Yeah, and then, I mean, at this point, it seems like you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot given, you know, the Amazon Fire Tablet or Fire Kindle or whatever it was called. It wasn't exactly, you know, a hit in much the same way Amazon would have hoped it would have been. So I think opening up to the Google Play Store would actually make this a more appealing device. So
I agree.
I mean, it's just really something that they need to do is to open that up, because if not, people aren't going to buy it. People want to be able to use Gmail. People want to be able to use Google Drive. They want to be able to use the apps their friends are using that are on the Play Store. But more than anything, this seems to be a front for an instant shopping experience with Amazon, because you know what you can do? You can take a picture of anything, and then it will find it on Amazon. They can purchase it straight from the phone. So
that's kind of neat, but...
Yeah, you can do that with an app elsewhere. So, I mean, it doesn't really make sense. Like, you need such a thing now, do you?
If you're a compulsive shopper.
Yeah, I guess. It's going to go for $199 on AT&T, $699 unsubsidized. So for that same price, you can practically get an iPhone. And half the price, you can get an Android phone from Google. So you really got to ask yourself, who's going to buy this? And, I mean, I just don't think it's going to be a success at this point. But I could be wrong.
Well, they need people in. And so what thing is wrong, dude, is those who are using Amazon Prime and like kind of like the whole music. You know how they release their own music, their own little music store and their own little streaming video thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's they're going to be the main target audience. Hey, you're already using Amazon Prime for X, Y, and Z. You might as well complete full circle.
Yeah, but of course, in order to do that, you need to not want to use apps or play any games like 2048, Threes, Angry Birds, that sort of thing. Because I don't think developers will want to port to another app store when they got Windows, Android, and Mac.
Well, my suggestion is let the market, the market will kind of decide what will happen. Amazon may release a lot of their own. And maybe that will start populating the thing. And, you know, those who are trying to, you know, get their apps to as a testing ground, maybe they will release it here too before going to Google and Apple and everything else. They could make the whole, like, hey, you know how Google and Apple kind of get small cut for every purchase through the store. Maybe lessen their fees or make it free for the first, you know, 1,000 app developers to go in. Give them this, you know, start the market. Give an incentive to go in first.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. It just seems kind of late for that kind of mentality in the whole smartphone ecosystem. So, Alrighty. I don't think there's anything else left to say on that. Next up, Comcast Wi-Fi hotspots to count on routers in homes. Schwa, I don't know if you have Comcast or not, but for those of you who live outside of the U.S., it is perhaps the biggest ISP in the U.S., I think.
One of them, but also in the also in the most corrupt.
Yeah,
but Time Warner, but Time Warner gets the number one pick. They will always be the worst ISP in history, and that's coming from many people. It's a general consensus with them.
So basically what Comcast is doing is they're saying that everybody who gets a new Comcast home router will have...
Oh, so that's why they called me yesterday.
They will have by default a wireless hotspot emitting from their homes. You can opt out of this service. It's going to basically open up access to 8 million hotspots in 19 of the largest U.S. cities.
It starts in the Bay Area.
Well, I guess that is why some people are being phoned for new routers.
That's why they called me. You remember what I told you yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Comcast called me up and saying they're about to upgrade their servers and your modem is about to be kaput. Why? Oh, we're upgrading the system. So you didn't call me last time mine was going out of system. And you didn't tell me at all. I said, oh, well, we didn't know. We probably missed you on an auto dialer program or whatnot. It's like, right. And she's like, we'll give you a free modem for tryout for 1 year. That's why they called me yesterday. Those bastards.
They want you to become a hotspot.
You can go to hell. They want to make things better for you and lower my payment, my monthly payments.
Hey, you're going to be sharing that internet, Schwab, with everyone around you.
No. They're welcome to it. It doesn't go 5 feet outside my door. I don't think it's really going to go... Unless they're increasing some kind of increasing the signal range, which seems unlikely. And I don't know how they're going to route the traffic differently? Like, is the data going to go over whoever's hotspot it is? Like, how are they going to prevent, you know, nefarious people from going onto other people's networks and messing things up so that the police and law enforcement go to the hotspot owner's house? I don't think that the people in their homes shouldn't be liable for what the general public does on hotspots.
Yeah, the way you can really prevent this from happening is you include in each modem, you include two wireless network devices. The first one works for just in your home, but the second one broadcasts simultaneously outside that range, and that's the one people can connect to. And what it's going to do is it's going to bridge with the people around you so that it appears as one contiguous wireless network. So let's say you, your neighbor, and the neighbor across the back alley all have Comcast. You're all going to be broadcasting this wireless signal that's bridged to the same network. And that's how it's going to provide a contiguous connection. You're still going to have your own private wireless inside, but you're also going to be broadcasting this public Wi-Fi access point that's shared between everyone. So there will be a way to tell who is doing what on these networks.
At no extra cost to them either.
Yeah, but they don't get any benefits. I think Comcast should be subsidizing bills or paying people to be part of this program. Like, there's no people.
Well, do you buy your modem? Or
yes.
Yeah, we have to rent it every month. So I'm having to pay them for everyone else's public
Wi-Fi. Well, they don't own the hardware then, so they're free to do what they want with it because they own it.
Well, true, but they'll cut my service if I buy an exact replica of their modem of my own off of Amazon.
You can call them up and say, I bought my own.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
And, I mean, this isn't exactly a mandatory thing. You can actually phone them and opt out of it if you don't want to be a part of it. So there is that.
But how many of them will actually do it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not an advertised thing, but I have heard testimonials that it is indeed possible to opt out, and they will turn it off, no questions asked. So you can opt out of it. Another interesting interesting thing about this is they have an agreement with Verizon so that Verizon has the largest, they sold the spectrum to Verizon last year, and that gives Comcast access to the Verizon network. So effectively what this means is that a Comcast wireless service or Comcast customer that has a wireless phone could potentially have a Wi-Fi / wireless phone that peers onto Verizon's network and has what looks to be transparent internet access to wherever you are. So that could ultimately be Comcast's endgame here. And, I mean, just going on to Verizon's network really does kind of show the current state of the telecommunication system in the United States. There are no boundaries between who is who, and it speaks to a lack of regulation in that sector.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're getting a new Comcast router, anyone, if you don't want to be doing this public service, make sure you phone Comcast and tell them you want to opt out of it. It is an opt-out program. Alrighty, and the last piece of tech news isn't really news at all. It's more of just a reminder to everyone out there that the Steam sales are going on currently at the Steam store. So anybody who's been hiding under a rock can find that at store.steampowered.com. And you can get all sorts of games on there for amazing deals. So, for instance, Skyrim right now, 66% off. Payday 2, that's 67% off as well. These are the top sellers. Then, of course, there's flash sales that happen every 18 hours, 75% off, 33% off, that sort of thing. So if you are looking to buy games, now is probably the best time to buy games, aside from the winter season, so that's in the Steam sales. I'm not specifically out for anything else this year, but how about you guys?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I haven't bought anything on Steam yet. I doubt I will. Yes. Waiting for Grand Theft Auto, that's pretty much my next purchase.
State of Decay here from Rumska. Wasn't looking for my, I'm trying to limit my games that I have, although thank you, Shane, for your generous donation. And yeah, that's about it.
Alrighty.
And Ultra Street Fighter 4, but that's not on sale from Rumska.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm pretty much clear for tech news this week. We can start wrapping this thing up.
We have the June Skill of the Month, and look who's winning.
I have not even opened it up. Let's take a look. Defense. Oh my god, it's... Yeah, no surprises. No surprises there about who might be winning this month.
We never know. Skype.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of XP gained.
39.3
million. Like a million a day?
Average of 1.9 million a day, actually.
How do you even get that much that fast?
That is the wonders of Evolution Mystery. Of Combat, plus bonus experience, plus Treasure Hunter laps. At least.
Moroska, you have any idea? And no lifing. Okay.
Yeah, no lifing, that's true. Just goes to show how insane these XP rates are here. And second place is Parnassius at 3.9 million XP. And then third place is Earth at 443,000. So, yeah, let's just say that competition's over, and be interesting to see what we got for the July Skill of the Month coming soon.
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, now that that's done, let's talk about some more achievements. This week we got two of them. First up is Colton with 99 ranged on the 18th.
And we got Punisher 1288 who got 99 cooking on the 18th. Congrats to you both.
Nice
99s. Good job, everyone. I saw Punisher's 99 was his first 99, so extra congratulations out to him as well.
Okay.
Does anybody have a pick of the week?
Shot it.
Oh, I didn't.
Pick your nose.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I've been thinking I haven't come up with anything.
All right. Well, I got one.
I have not.
I got something that pretty much everybody can use at some point in their life on the internet, and that is an excellent domain registrar. Basically, domain registrars allow you to purchase names like rsbnb.com, that sort of thing. And people don't exactly always know how to do this in the best way and how much they are, but they are cheap. Around $15 a year, which really isn't too much to ask for. And if you want a domain name, even for your own personal email address or maybe your own personal website, well, the domain registrar that I like to use and is very, very good is called Hover.com. Basically, it's a domain registrar with a minimum amount of fuss pertaining to extra services that they try and slap on, like GoDaddy, for example, which, you know, really used to be the domain registrar to use, but it's really fallen out of favor recently in terms of all the other stuff that they try and sell you, and their customer support isn't all that great. So Hover really fixes all that and provides a great domain registrar experience and allows you to purchase domain names simply, safely, and just purchase the domain name. You're not upsold on anything. If you want email, they can offer that as well. So you could buy something, your name.me, And then there you go. You got this domain address and you have it for a year and you just need to pay once a year in order to get it. They have privacy options available. So if you want to purchase domain privacy so nobody else can see your information, they do that. And also they have excellent customer support, either through phone or through text chat. And they also support Google Authenticator for third-party authentication. So it really is a good thing to be using Hover for domain registration. And it's the company that I've used personally for the last number of years. So that's hover.com.
Okay.
Any questions?
Did you post it on Mumble?
No, I didn't. But it's just hover.com. It's very simple. It's owned by the one of the very early internet companies out there, Tucows. T-U-C-O-W-S. So, yeah, give them a try. And next time you need a domain, that's where you should get it from.
Alrighty.
Well, so we got some time now to talk about what we've been doing this week. So, Schwa, what have you been up to on RS, either version of RS? Might as well ask you.
Well, I actually just finished Legends Quest a couple days ago on Old School.
Woo!
Did it at level 62 combat. I was pretty pleased.
Throw holy water.
Yeah, I got my holy water now for my Herblore outfit, so we're piecing together the puzzle there. Just doing quests and raising skills. I've been doing Herblore the past couple days, buying some units off of people and making potions out of them, selling them for egregious profit since there's at least a little bit of PvP culture. And that's been pretty much my whole week in RuneScape, really.
What did you do on the Legacy Beta?
Actually, funny story about the Legacy Beta. I logged in. I did. I actually did for a while. I logged in and Shane gave me a couple god swords and some other items, which I thought was really cool until I figured out I could have just walked 5 feet over and gotten them for myself. So I felt really stupid, but I went and started training Slayer.
Well, to be fair, the armor trader wasn't working that day.
Oh. Well, that is a good gift then. Thank you. I thought I was
wasn't working.
Handed to me on a silver platter.
No, it wasn't working for some reason. You couldn't access the armor to it, so.
Yeah,
it was a gift that day.
Then after starting Slayer, I got 72 and got assigned some Wyverns, so I thought that I could just go between the beta and the regular game all, you know, willy-nilly, as long as I was just on the actual ESC. So I went and bought myself a Dragonfire shield to deal with those, and then went imported it into the beta, and then figured out that I had lost my Slayer level now. So I was back where I started. And so after that, I just decided to log off, and I'd come back to it in a couple days.
Yeah, and I mean,
but I enjoyed
in
my
all
time.
Fairness, that is why they added the little red notification when you log in that progress is not saved over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was already so many new buttons and whistles on the interface. I didn't even see that. Very, very much different than the interface that I've been used to the past few months.
Oh, well, fair enough. Alrighty.
At least there was no, microtransaction advertisements in there. That's what I liked. I know it won't last forever, but whenever Legacy comes out, but it was nice not having spins and treasure keys thrown in my face.
Yeah, I mean, they really don't do it all that often. I mean, most we have for an advertisement nowadays for those is right on the lobby screen, so... All right, sounds good. What about you, my friend?
Oh, I've been working all week, so that's really what I did. On RS, I leveled up my hunter through player on ports, which funny enough I didn't even know it was gonna happen. I used up my entitlement aura for the double XP, just did a quick farming run and used up whatever crates that I had. And as you may have just saw right now, Shane French, I just got 96 summoning. Yay!
Wow, good. Combat so 138 too.
Yes, and I can now make packyaks and all that good stuff. So no more turtles.
Yes.
No more turtles.
Yeah, packyaks are really a great thing once you have them unlocked. The tortoise is good too, but the packyak can just do so much more.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, what else? I'm going to attend Birthright of the Dwarves tonight.
Oh, good.
Any tips?
Not really. Just the last fight is very dependent on moving around and dodging and trapping one of the creatures inside the room if you want to make it as easy as you can.
Well, I'm screwed.
Yeah. Well, all depends on lag, of course, but it's not as bad as some other quests in the way you need to move around and whatnot, so it does have that going for it. And I hope the performance issues will have been fixed by now, because there was just some lag on the first couple days with the way the instancing was done there. So, should be fine. As for me this week on RS, primarily just doing the ports, I slayed some celestial dragons using the ranged option, which is always good, because as I said, that's one thing I definitely want to train. And I will say that those celestial dragons are an excellent way of profit making, just because of all the dragon hides and other summoning materials that they drop. So if you're looking for something to kill just to make some profit, go kill celestial dragons for quite a bit. If you're wanting something that's not too difficult, you do need to complete the one-of-a-kind quest in order to unlock those, though. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. But aside from that, just doing some farming and concocting an evil plan, which I need to test out and I will report on next week if it works. But I think that's it for this episode of RSBNB Updates. So we are fully in our 10th year now. So thank you to you, Schwa, for joining us this week to talk about your impressions of Legacy Mode, and I'm glad it's been a positive experience so far.
No, yeah, definitely. You'll probably see me more in the regular game now, once we finally get, if it finally gets voted in.
Yeah, that. Remember, everyone, that's happening on Monday. But yeah, once again, thank you, and of course, also thanks to you, my co-host, for being here, and we'll see you next week, everyone. And remember to use your daily elf amulet to get some bonus XP.
Woo-hoo! XP! Bye, everyone. Woo!